Rich Huddleston heads a kind of think tank, which has a very impressive agenda.
Our mission is to ensure that every child has the resources and opportunities to lead healthy and productive lives and realize their full potential.
The Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families work to improve public policy at the state capitol and in Washington, D.C. And because Arkansas historically has a high poverty rate, Huddleston says, fluctuating between 1 out of 4 to 5 children, the nonprofit has its work cut out.
Poverty is usually defined based on some level of income. And so, for example, like a family of four, let's say that you have two parents and two kids, poverty might be about $22,000 a year. And so, which is not a lot of money when you're trying to feed four people and when you're trying to pay your bills, your utility bills, and you're trying to pay your rent or your mortgage.
And poverty is on the rise, even in prosperous Northwest Arkansas, due in part to fallout from the recession. A majority of the state's foreclosures continue to occur in Benton and Washington counties, as well as in the central part of the state, primarily Pulaski County. In July, Arkansas counted 1,476 foreclosures, or 1 out of 888 homes. That's according to RealtyTrack, but that's down from April's filings. But unemployment at 9.1% nationally is at 8.1% last tallied in Arkansas, a rate that is rising. And unemployed parents cannot fully provide for their children.
Many families living in poverty have to make tough choices that no family should have to make, such as, do I pay this utility bill this month but not this one? Do I buy less of nutritious foods because they tend to cost more than foods that are not as healthy, just because I don't have enough money there? I mean, do I put off, buying the school supplies that my kids need in order to make sure that they have food on the table or that I can pay a bill? And so low-income families often make these tough choices from month to month that no family should have to make.
And although nationwide the foreclosure rate is finally beginning to ease, the effect remains severely attenuated among working-class families lured into purchasing junk mortgages during the housing bubble. Families now dislocated from dream homes, some living in nightmarish conditions. And according to the report released Wednesday by the Annie E. Casey Foundation yesterday, 22,000 Arkansas children are among displaced families here.
It may mean moving into housing that's not as safe. It may mean uprooting kids from their current schools. But it also could mean economic challenges, because if you get your house foreclosed on, chances are that your family is not doing very well economically, and it often means that you can't pay your bills in other areas, and so might threaten health care coverage for the family. It might mean again that they can't buy school supplies, and so foreclosure impacts children and families in many different ways, not only in terms of the current state of their housing that they live in, but also just economically. And it also means that they're more likely to go into bankruptcy, have large amounts of debt, that they're going to spend years having to try and pay down. And so so foreclosures are almost never good for families.
As a result, Arkansas ranks 47th out of 50 states in child well-being, according to the Foundation's Kids Count data book. And a miserable child may cycle into the next generation impoverished, Rich Huddleston says.
Because I think the research is pretty clear that if you're a child growing up in poverty, that's going to put in place additional obstacles to you succeeding not only in school but later in life.
An estimated 1/5 of all Arkansans live in poverty. They tend to be poorly educated, unhealthy, and some involved in crime. Poverty also consumes taxpayers' money required to alleviate its effects. Because of this, in 2009, the state legislature called for an Arkansas legislative task force on reducing poverty and promoting economic opportunity, which was funded by the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation and facilitated by the Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. A report on setting benchmarks for reducing poverty in Arkansas was released last fall into the laps of lawmakers. The report covers six areas of concern.
One was community and economic development, really kind of focusing on strategies to really help areas where low-income families live. And so, I mean, really focusing on, you know, rural development, small and minority business development, and also, you know, tax incentives that are really targeted to meet the needs of low-income communities, I mean, not communities that maybe don't need help as much. There was also another area of recommendation centered around education and workforce development, because I think the task force recognized really clearly one of the best long-term strategies to helping our kids get out of poverty and improving their ability to raise families that can succeed in the long run is to have an educated workforce.
That means boosting early childhood education programs and enrichment programs, health care coverage, employment support like subsidized child care, and a set of recommendations to improve the state's tax system were also covered.
And that means tax policies that not only economically support low-income working families through things such as the creation of a state earned income tax credit based on the highly successful federal one, which Arkansas is now one of a smaller list of states that does not have a state earned income tax credit, for example. But it's also about ensuring that state government has adequate revenue, to support programs that we know are important to the well-being of children and families.
The sixth recommendation was about featuring the task force. And as it turns out, the General Assembly took notice, Huddleston said.
The task force recommended legislation to limit a school district's ability just to carry over its poverty money for K-12 education, which is really designed, their poverty money is really designed to be spent on low-income kids. But many school districts have been carrying over millions and millions of dollars in this money. Well, we got legislation passed that really limits their ability to do that. We also got legislation passed, for example, that would help create a framework for a statewide system of after-school and summer programs. Also put in place recommendations around tax relief for low-income families. We didn't get a state earned income tax credit, but we did get a fix to some legislation back from 2007 to really give single parents with two or more kids some additional state income tax relief. And so, there were actually probably 9 or 10 recommendations that the task force put out there that were adopted either in whole or in part.
Entangled red tape around the Our Kids First program, which provides health insurance to more than 70,000 Arkansas children, was also straightened out during the session, making it easier, for example, for children to remain enrolled. But a lot more work is required, Rich Huddleston said.
Around education, health care, economic development, tax policy for low-income folks. Of course, we've cut the grocery tax significantly, but also ensuring that we have adequate revenue in place to support the programs that they need access to in education, health care, and the child welfare system.
Because huge federal funding cuts to state entitlement programs and state aid to decrease the federal budget deficit looms. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.